You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the podcast network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. You are listening to the Wells Tech Podcast. This is another edition of BWTG, Bonus Wells Tech Goodness, Episode 91, from Monday, August 10th, 2009. Joining me as usual, Sally Draper. Good morning, Sally.
Hi, Martin. How are you this morning?
I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm very good. I'm excited about today's topic because it has to do with data, and I love dealing with data.
Love data. You're a math major, aren't you?
That's right. So right up my alley to have all kinds of data to manipulate in a spreadsheet. What fun.
And we should say right up front, this is the last episode of BWTG for the summer. And Sally, you get to bat cleanup here. So we're going to talk about forms, online forms, right?
That's right. And I think there's lots of reasons why our churches and schools might be interested in using forms on the internet. Lots of ministry applications there. Basically, just a really great way to gather information from your church and school families. It's very convenient for users to go online and fill out a form rather than having to deal with paper. I guess we could say it's environmentally friendly as well, killing less trees in the process. And it's just a really great way on the back end of things to have the data organized and make it easy to analyze and do reporting off of.
Well, it saves a step for many congregations, and even here in the Synod office, we have tons of forms. Paper forms, or had tons of paper forms, and typically those paper forms had to get into an electronic format, had to be keyed into a database or some kind of spreadsheet or digital file of some sort, and this ultimately saves a step. So you're asking the user to digitize it right away, get it into a form, send it to you. It can be put in a database. It can be sent via email, instantaneous notification, as we're going to talk about. All kinds of applications here. How are you using this in your church, Sally?
Well, we've used it in a couple of ways, just to survey members on different topics. We use it actually for our flower calendar sign up. We have the traditional flower calendar hanging up in the narthex area of our church, but people can go online and sign up for the flowers, for a particular Sunday as well. So just real simple uses.
We've done it for time and talent surveys. That's almost an annual event of people updating their information or sending us their initial information on, you know, what they're interested in doing in the church. So it comes in via a form and then gets into our database that way. We've done registration for the youth rally that way, or VBS as well. So there's all kinds of, I think, applications. And it is really easy to set them up nowadays, isn't it?
Actually, it really is. I was just going to put in one more plug that we've done it for school registration this year and last year. We send out the information from our database, and then if people need to make updates to their information, they can go online and do that really easily as well. And you're right. You shouldn't be afraid to create a form because it's actually pretty fun and it's pretty simple as well.
Lots of ways to do it too, right?
That's right. And that's really our first step, is determining the best way you want to do it. There are multiple tools out there. When you visit our Wells Tech Wiki for this show and the notes we've put together for you, you'll see that we highlight four different tool sets, starting with Google Docs, which is free and available to use. You can either use the form on the Google website or you can embed it in your own website. For those of our listeners who are Final Web users, there's a form tool that comes built in with the Final Web system. So you can create your forms right there within Final Web and have all the feature sets available to you as well. And then we link to a couple of outside survey tools, kind of standalone survey tools. SurveyMonkey, which is one we've had experience with at the Synod building, we've used for different surveys. And then WooFoo is another similar to SurveyMonkey, WooFoo, with WUFOO. And both of those, again, allow you to create the forms on their website. They have exhaustive reporting behind the scenes as you gather the data. You can look at it online. You can export it to a spreadsheet, that kind of thing.
All kinds of templates available for a lot of these, too. I know on WooFoo I was looking at that before. Depending on what your use is, it can look different, different field types. All those kinds of things are available in most of these tools, right?
That's right. You'll see a lot of similarities across the different tool sets. For the rest of our wiki page, we kind of focus on the Google Docs tool just because it's a free tool. And they have a lot of different templates. And I actually created a form that just shows all the different form field types, because you can have check boxes where people can select multiple items. You can have radio buttons where they're forced to select just one option. Mm-hmm. You can do things with scales, so they rank things from, you know, good to bad or whatever scale you want to use. And then you can have just some free form text type fields as well, either a single line or a big paragraph area where they can type as much as they want.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a good sample there that you can click on from the wiki page, so you can see all of those in action. And that's probably a really good place to start, is determine exactly what your questions are that you want to gather information about, and what question types you have available to you that fit well with each of those. Do you want them to make multiple selections or just one? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I would really encourage our listeners to think through that thoroughly, because once the form's out there, you really don't want to change it. So that's going to inhibit your ability to analyze the data once it comes in. If you're adding fields or changing selections, those kinds of things, you'll get, I think, the hang of it over time, how to write a good form or how to write a good survey, whatever it is you're asking your users to provide input for. You'll learn very quickly that to ask your users to fill out a 30 item survey is probably not going to be real successful. So it needs to be simple, needs to be quick, needs to be very clear in what you're looking for.
That's right. Kind of determine your objectives up front, and so that when you do get all that great spreadsheet data to play with, that it has meaning to you, that you can, you know, figure out what answer you're looking for.
That's right.
So, and I actually recorded a couple of video tutorials of me showing you how I put together a Google Doc form. I actually created one that I hope our listeners will take. It's a Wells Tech listener survey. Pretty simple, straightforward, short, but easy to create in Google Docs forms. And I have two video tutorials that actually walk you through adding the different types of form fields, selecting templates, embedding it in your own web page if that's what you desire. All of those things are covered in these two video tutorials.
Cool. So once you've got the form out there and you've encouraged people to use it, and they have, that's not the end of it.
No, it isn't. The last step is to actually look at the data that you've received from your users that visited there and filled out your forms. And there's a couple of ways you can do that. Typically, in most of these tools, there's some kind of notification system that lets you know anytime someone fills out your form. You either get an email. In the case of Google, you can put a gadget on your iGoogle homepage, and it'll bold if there's new form data that's been added. So just some kind of ongoing notification. Now, you may want to turn that off if you're going to get 10,000 responses to your survey.
Right.
You may not want an individual email for each one, but typically there is an option to be notified in some way that someone's filled out your form. And then basically the easiest way to work with form data is to work with it in that spreadsheet view.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's a summary type reporting provided. I know Google Docs does that, SurveyMonkey does that, where it kind of gathers together and gives you percentages, who answered this way versus that way, maybe some graphs and things with it. So you could look at the summary data, certainly, that's provided, or you can just grab that spreadsheet and sort and analyze and report based on the information that's part of that.
Very good. And you'll learn pretty quickly what works well in this spreadsheet form and what doesn't. you're going to want to think clearly when you write the questions how you want to analyze the results. So if you want to do any kind of analysis, it really needs to be multiple choice or yes, no, or something that's very definitive. You don't want to have a lot of essay-type questions that you're going to have to read because they're going to be very difficult to analyze those. So I would try and keep those to a minimum.
Yep. So I guess summer school is officially over. BWTG is hanging up its hat. But we encourage you to go take our listener survey and maybe share some forms that you've created or uses of forms for your church and school.
Yep. And just a reminder, wellstechwiki.wells.net is where you find the step-by-steps. And I assume the link for the survey is there, right, Sally?
It sure is, Martin.
All right. Thanks. And thanks to our listeners for working through with us these mini episodes. Hopefully they've been helpful and will bless your ministry in some way. Talk to you guys in a couple days when we release our regularly scheduled episode number 92 of the Wells Tech Podcast.